Hello, it's Randy Rhodes. Here's a clip from our show, and go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe me.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhodes Show.
Turn up your mind.
The real question is, who benefits from this move? Well, certainly Turkish strongman Erdogan, but also Vladimir Putin. He's been shoring up his relationship with Turkey and betting big on Syria's Bashar al-Assad to help reestablish Russia as a Mideast power. It's part of a long line of moves by President Trump that seem to help Russia achieve its ambitions, from constantly railing against international alliances like NATO and the EU, to downplaying Russia's invasion of Crimea, but still blaming Obama for it, praising the autocratic Eastern European ally of Putin, Hungary's Viktor Orban, to reportedly telling British Prime Minister that Russia had nothing to do with the poisoning of a former spy on UK soil. Reportedly telling Russian officials that meddling in the U.S. election was no big deal because the U.S. does it too. To continuing to push people to investigate a totally discredited conspiracy theory that Russia didn't hack the DNC at all. Quote, Trump implements Russia's negative agenda by default, a Russian columnist told the New York Times, undermining the U.S.-led world order, U.S. alliances, U.S. credibility as a partner and an ally. Now, to be sure, there are members of the Trump administration who have tried to take a hard line against Russia, but they keep getting undercut by the president. And what's really stunning is how quickly Trump has undone decades of Republican warnings about Russia as a bad actor on the world stage, with 40% of Republicans now calling Russia a friend or allies of 2018.
Oh, my God.
It's almost double the number from 2014. But none of that changes the facts. Russia's not a friend or an ally of the United States. And despite some Republicans trying to normalize Trump's actions, it's never been okay to invite foreign powers to interfere with our elections. Don't believe me? Ask this guy.
This is basic stuff. Foreign donors and certainly foreign governments cannot participate in the American political process.
Oh, God. It's like we're through the looking glass. Everything is backwards now. All the things they said are that they were against, they're now for. And all the things they said they were for, they're now against. It's just so unbelievable. I don't know if you saw the old man, Pat Robertson, you know, from the, hey, send me money and I'll pray for you crowd. But he's ready to throw Donald Trump overboard, too. And the way that they phrase it, this is so C Street, okay? This is so the family. This is such a group of people who believe that if you should become the president of the United States, it's because God chose you, not because the people chose you, because they read newspapers or because they have, you know, their own economic interests or no, God chose you. God. It's called the mandate of heaven. I swear to God, it's a crazy thing. And they will go to the mattresses for whoever the Republican president is, because not Democrats, only Republican presidents are chosen by God. Swear to God. So Pat Robertson suddenly realizes that if you kill the Kurds are Christians too. The Kurds are Arab, the Kurds are Muslim, the Kurds are Christian, the Kurds are boys, the Kurds are girls. See, that's the Kurds. The Kurds are, you know, an equal opportunity, a group of people that want a state of their own. They don't have one, and they've been looking for one, and they've been gypped out of their own state since post-World War I. Where Turkey fought on the wrong side. So Pat Robertson gets on the TV and he starts screaming, to the evangelicals, time to dump Trump.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say right now, I am absolutely appalled that the United States is going to betray those democratic forces in northern Syria, that we possibly going to allow the Turkish to come in against the Kurds. That Erdogan is a thug. He has taken control of his country as a dictator. He is a strong leader, and to say he's an ally of America is nonsense. He is in for himself. And the president who allowed Khashoggi to be cut in pieces without any repercussions whatsoever is now allowing the Christians and the Kurds to be massacred by the Turks. And I believe, and I want to say this with great solemnity, the president of the United States is in danger of losing the mandate of heaven if he permits this to happen.
Wow.
I am the chosen one.
The mandate of heaven, everybody. The mandate of heaven. Wow. Not 11,000 people in Wisconsin. No. The mandate of heaven. Wow. Wow. Oh, wow. All right. Jerry in Baltimore.
Randy?
Yes, sir.
Please, let me get my thought out before you jump in on me.
Okay, but please take me off the speakerphone so everybody can hear.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. It's going to be fun.
Hey, come on. My mother does it faster.
Yeah.
She's 89.
I'm here.
Okay.
Look, if the House sends the sergeant at arms to arrest one of these co-conspirators, what are we supposed to do when they resist? What are we supposed to do if their private security shoots him?
No, nobody shoots anybody. If they resist.
Wait a minute. I'm not done.
I thought you asked.
No.
All right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If these events happen, because there is no precedent for a president or the Republican Party for violating the law to this extent and ignoring everything, what are we supposed to do then? Because you cannot put that past this man and his cohorts. They already have those amateur gun nuts down in Texas said, yeah, we got your back, Mr. President. Now go ahead.
Okay.
Tell me I'm wrong.
All right. So if somebody resists arrest, then it becomes a criminal matter, not a civil matter. So they would actually end up in jail. Nobody gets shot. That's the first thing. The second thing is Congress is not in session right now. So there is no sergeant at arms. I mean, they're not in session. They're not in session until Monday is Columbus Day. So next Tuesday, that's when they come back. So we'll have to wait and see. Now, if somebody resists arrest again, then the D.C. police, the Capitol Police would come in and they would put that person in jail because resisting arrest is a crime. Third, the Supreme Court is now in session. And that is where this case would be fast-tracked to. And then if the Supreme Court holds what they held in Nixon, that executive privilege is not a be-all, end-all, that executive privilege does not shield, everything that the president has said or does, that it is a limited privilege, and that the president has to turn over these phone calls, right? Or that the president has to turn over these documents, these emails, whatever it is, right? Then if the president refuses to do that, then the Senate will have no choice but to remove the president, period. Because how do you explain that to a democracy? That the Supreme Court has ruled and the president is saying, screw you? How could that possibly work?
I would have said that because he's saying screw you to Congress.
Well, he is saying screw you to Congress. But again, the sergeant at arms is not there because the House is not in session till next Tuesday. The other road to, getting these documents is a district court saying you can't defy these subpoenas. You have to comply. And then you fast track it to the Supreme Court, saying this is a matter of urgent national security, and the Supreme Court takes it up, and they rule that the president is not shielded from producing documents like they did with Nixon's tapes. See what I mean? There's still stuff to do. Go to RandyRhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.